When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You're listening ad-free on Wondery Plus. It's 1756 in a village in what's now Nigeria. 11-year-old Olada Equiano runs through the yard of his family home playing tag with his younger sister. She shrieks in delight as she cuts a quick corner and races away from her older brother. But Olada almost clatters into his sister's back when she suddenly stops running. Puzzled, Olada follows her gaze, and his stomach lurches when he sees three figures climbing over the fence into their yard. Ever since he was a young child, Olada's parents have warned him what to do in a situation like this. This part of Africa is plagued by kidnappers who work for slavers. They abduct children to be sent to slave markets on the coast. Olada's parents drilled into him that if he's ever approached by strangers, he must run. So Olada grabs his sister's arm, and they dash in the opposite direction away from the men. But the kidnappers quickly catch up. One of them pulls Olada's sister down to the ground. Then the other two men seize Olada, too, and a hand is clamped over his mouth as Olada is roughly pushed to the ground and restrained. Then he and his sister are hustled out of the yard and away from the home to which they'll now never return. 6 months after being kidnapped, Olada Equiano will be placed on a slave ship and taken across the Atlantic Ocean to America. Eventually, years later, he'll buy his freedom from slavery and dedicate his life to ending the cruel practice forever, becoming a major figure in the abolition movement thanks to a memoir that documents the horror of the slave trade. But accounts that depict the brutal reality of slavery will struggle to find a mass audience until almost 200 years later, when one man's quest to trace his family history will result in a best-selling book and a hit television series that will premiere on January 23, 1977. From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is January 23rd, 1977, the television premiere of Roots. It's May 1967 in Jufure, a village in the Gambia, 10 years before Roots first screens on American television. 45-year-old American journalist Alex Haley lays a tape recorder on a table and opens his notebook. Then he looks up and gives his interviewee a smile, but the elderly man on the other side of the table doesn't notice. Instead, he's staring at the tape recorder with a puzzled expression. Alex picks it up and hands it to the old man. He tells his interviewee that the tape recorder will record his words and it'll help Alex to write his story when he returns home. 3 years ago, Alex began researching his family history. As a Black American, Alex knew that his ancestors were enslaved, but he wanted to find out who they were before they were taken across the ocean. Hoping to write up the story as a book, he scoured archives and libraries until he managed to plot his ancestry to the Kinte clan that originated in West Africa. There, Alex heard rumors about an old man with an encyclopedic knowledge of the families of the Gambia. And now Alex has tracked that man down, and he's eager to find out more about his ancestors. After taking the tape recorder back, Alex presses a button and then asks the man what he knows about the Kinte clan. The man settles back in his chair and begins. Alex quickly realizes that the rumors were correct. This man has a vast knowledge of local history. He speaks for hours about the various members of the Kinte clan as Alex takes detailed notes. One tale in particular captures Alex's imagination. The old man tells the story of the capture of a Kinte tribesman by an African gang collaborating with slave traders. According to the old man's account, Kunta Kinte had wandered into a forest to gather firewood when he was attacked by four men and knocked unconscious. When he came to, he found he was bound and gagged, the prisoner of a slave trader who transported him to America. When the old man finishes talking, Alex realizes that he was so engrossed in the story of Kunta that he'd stopped taking notes. Thankfully, he has the tapes, and when Alex listens to them again, he's certain Kunta Kinte will be the perfect main character for his book. Now he just needs to write it, but that's easier said than done. Alex has immersed himself in his family's history for the last 3 years, and he struggles to know when to stop researching. He repeatedly visits the Library of Congress to scour the archives for information about the slave ship that transported his ancestors to America. And then he travels to Virginia and even England to find out more about his family's enslavers. But the further Alex digs into his ancestry, the more complex the story becomes, and one discovery threatens to derail the entire project. Several experts claim that the old man who told Alex about the life of Kunta Kinte is not a reliable source of information. They advise Alex to return to the Gambia and interview more people to resolve contradictions in the original account. Alex has been working on his book for 8 years, and he feels that it's too late to make major changes to the story now. The manuscript he calls Roots is already long overdue at the publisher, and Alex has neither the money nor the heart to start all over again. Instead, he tells himself that he isn't hiding the fact that this is a fictionalized version of his family history, so he doesn't think his readers will mind a few examples of dramatic license as long as the story captures their attention. Alex's hopes prove correct. In 1974, an early excerpt of Roots is published in the monthly magazine Reader's Digest. Dozens of people then write in to ask when the book will be released, and a Hollywood producer is so impressed by the excerpt that he asks Alex for the rights to adapt Roots for television. Alex is thrilled, but there's a catch. The producer has heard Alex has been working on Roots for more than 10 years, and the book still isn't finished. So he offers Alex a weighted deal. He'll pay $50,000 up front to secure the rights, but the bulk of the money, another $200,000, will only be paid to Alex when he finishes the book. This deal will motivate Alex to push on and finally finish Roots. At the end of 1975, he'll hand over his final manuscript to the publisher. Work to adapt the story for television will begin almost immediately. But the producers of the TV version of this epic tale will soon find that filming Roots will be almost as difficult as writing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's April 1976 in Georgia, 1 year after author Alex Haley finished writing Roots. 19-year-old LeVar Burton paces in his hotel room, a film script in his hand. His eyes scan the words on the paper, but LeVar isn't really taking them in. Instead, he's merely worried. No matter how many times he reads through the script, LeVar is struggling to remember his lines. A few months ago, LeVar spotted an ad inviting actors to audition for a screen adaptation of Alex Haley's Roots. Although LeVar was a novice actor with only one film credit to his name, he was cast in the pivotal role of the young Kunta Kinte. It's LeVar's job to portray Kunta as he's kidnapped and sold into slavery. But filming is due to begin tomorrow, and LeVar's feeling the pressure of being part of a big-budget production for the first time. So LeVar tries to push any negative thoughts from his mind and refocus on just the script. But he's only read a couple of lines aloud before there's a knock at the door. Glad for the distraction, LeVar opens the door and finds Alex Haley himself standing in the hallway. After exchanging greetings, Alex hands LeVar an advance copy of the book Roots. Although it's still not available in stores, Alex says he wants all the actors to have a copy during filming. He tells LeVar that he's bookmarked a passage that he wants him to study and wishes him the best for the start of filming tomorrow. After seeing Alex off, LeVar opens his copy of Roots at the page Alex had marked. It's one of the story's most profound early scenes, describing Kunta's experience as a captive on a slave ship while crossing the Atlantic Ocean. As LeVar reads Alex's description of the nightmarish voyage, he realizes that his performance won't just rely on him remembering his lines. He needs to capture the emotions and feelings of despair that the enslaved Africans must have gone through. And when filming begins the next day, LeVar is immediately thrust into an emotionally taxing scene portraying Kunta's capture. But the nerves he felt yesterday have gone. LeVar has been inspired by Alex's writing, and when the first scene is finished, the director makes his way over and congratulates LeVar on a great performance. But that scene is not the last challenge LeVar will face. Over the next few weeks, he depicts Kunta's voyage across the ocean in a slave ship, and a brutal moment in which Kunta is savagely whipped. These are difficult scenes for an inexperienced actor. But LeVar can rely on the help and advice of the rest of the cast. Oscar-nominated actors James Earl Jones and Cicely Tyson have agreed to take on roles, while the cast also includes prominent writer Maya Angelou and NFL superstar-turned-actor O.J. Simpson. But LeVar and the other actors can't help noticing a racial imbalance in the production. The majority of the show's cast is black, but all its directors and producers are white. The actors aren't the only ones to spot the disparity either. As the first month of filming comes to a close, criticism mounts from civil rights groups. In response, the producers hire more black talent to take roles behind the camera. Gilbert Moses is employed as a director, while Joseph Wilcox is appointed director of photography. These new hires help dispel the criticism, but some black pundits still suggest the showrunner's worrying lack of sensitivity does not bode well for the finished product. And it's not just the TV production that's dogged by controversy. 5 months after filming begins, Alex Haley's book is finally published. Roots spends the next 46 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, but questions arise about the authenticity of Alex's research. It's suggested that he based the story of Kunta Kinte on the words of an unreliable African storyteller. Alex defends his work and insists that Roots has always been a blend of historical research and fictional storytelling. But the ongoing controversy spooks executives at television studio ABC. They worry that their adaptation of Roots will flop after the intense and often critical media coverage of the book, so studio bosses meet to discuss the show's future. After much debate, they decide to go ahead with the premiere of Roots, but in case it bombs, they plan to air the 8 episodes on consecutive evenings to get it over with quickly. And as the show's debut approaches, the controversy over it will grow. All the executives at ABC will be able to do now is cross their fingers and hope for the best. It's the evening of January 23, 1977, in South Carolina, 6 months after Roots was released in bookstores. As 10-year-old Zenobia Harper plays with dolls in her living room, she hears her mother call out her name. Zenobia takes a comfortable spot on the carpet in front of the television as her mother bustles in with an overflowing bowl of popcorn. Zenobia looks up at the TV screen expectantly. This is normally her bedtime, but her mother had her take a nap earlier so she could stay up late tonight. So whatever show is about to start must be special. A few minutes later, Zenobia is already engrossed in the action taking place on screen. A cry of pain comes from a thatched hut as a woman gives birth. Zenobia's mom claps excitedly as she points out that one of the women playing the midwives is the famous writer Maya Angelou. Then another baby's cry rings out, and the newborn's father holds him up to show him the vast night sky. The young boy's name is Kunta Kinte. Zenobia and her mother are not the only people introduced to Kunta at this moment. 50 million other Americans tune in for the premiere of Roots, and viewing figures only increase from there. Over the next week, the show becomes the hot topic of conversation across the country. And by the time the finale airs, a record audience of 100 million people are watching. Not every viewer enjoys the series, though, and its success does not dismiss all the controversy surrounding it. The television show reopens the debate over the authenticity and accuracy of Alex Haley's story, and some experts feel that the series oversimplifies a complex and nuanced historical subject. But these debates do not diminish the cultural importance of Roots. The book and its screen adaptation tackle the topic of slavery at a time when its true horrors were often minimized or overlooked. And the series embedded Black history in mainstream American popular culture for perhaps the first time. In the decades since its release, Roots has had sequels and remakes, but none have matched the impact of the original, which millions of Americans tuned in to watch on January 23, 1977. Next on History Daily, January 24, 1908, the Boy Scout movement begins after the publication of Robert Baden Powell's book, Scouting for Boys. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazib. Sound design by Matthew Filler. Music by Thrum. This episode is written and researched by Ruben Abrams Brosby, edited by Scott Reeves, managing producer Emily Byrd. Executive producers are William Simpson for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.